graphs with some summary data, you know, given the history of the flows at each of those sites. So, for instance, if you look at the first one, Rickery River, you can see that, the period of record for each of those flows, you can see a really high one there back in 1935, and then you can see the last few years have been really low. And then there's some information there on, the average, and you can see the average plotted there for the period of record, so you get some kind of perspective on individual flows. And there's 10 sites on the basin, like I say, that we received funding for, and you can look at those at your leisure. You'll notice on a couple of them, the mean changes, that's the mean before a reservoir was in and after a reservoir was in. That's the reason for the step in that graph. And then on the last page is a summary which shows information for those 10 stations as well as other stations that we operate through other funding mechanisms. So the first ones, like I say, are what we call NSIP stations. And then the next three are stations that for 2000, and all this data is for 2006. It's going to look a little different in 2007 because we've had some increased flows. But the three stations were funded by the Corps of Engineers. Two of those we've, through funding cuts through the Corps, they had the past cuts on, and so we've, those have a change in status. One of them, the Republican River below Harlan County has been dropped, so there will be no data for that next year. The other one has been through the Bureau of Reclamation and Department of Natural Resources and our Cooperative Water Program, we were able to pick up funding for that. That was the one at McCook. And then the Republican River near Stratton, we also lost funding for, and the Department of Natural Resources is now operating that station, similar to the three above it, where they operate it and we do a check and review and publish it. But they actually operate the station. So, and there's some summary statistics on there. I'll just point out that the red tint on there shows that it had less flow than the previous year. So, as you can see, most stations in 2006 had less flow than 2005. With that, and most of this data you can get right off the web. Unfortunately, my web address didn't print out on that summary sheet. When I put it into PowerPoint, I didn't realize that. But there is a web address down there on contact information that gets you to our website. But you can get to the national website by taking out the NE, and that gets you to the national one, so you can get to Kansas data, Colorado data, whatever. So with that, I'll entertain any questions. Otherwise, I'm out of here.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that concludes the federal report. Okay, that concludes the federal report. We'll now move on to the report of the Engineering Committee. I actually have the Engineering Committee representative for Kansas, Phil, by virtue of my being acting chief engineer and chairman for this year. We had quite a bit of discussion about the Engineering Committee actions of this year at the work session yesterday. But we'll recap the results of the Engineering Committee's work now. The 2006 annual meeting of the Compact Administration provided six assignments to the Engineering Committee. And I will relate each of those assignments and kind of the result of those assignments, and as well as a couple additional items and recommended assignments that the committee would have for work for the coming year. The first assignment was to complete the user's manual for accounting procedures and provide a resolution for its adoption. We currently have in place a significant documentation on the groundwater model and the inputs into the groundwater model. We have adopted an accounting spreadsheet. What this user's manual is a documentation of the inputs into the accounting spreadsheet, where they're developed from, and what processing is necessary to complete the numbers for each of the states as well as federal data. Last year, kind of an outline for that was developed in each state. We were supposed to work more detail as to what that document patient should include. The purpose of this is just to fully document what we're doing for each other, and actually is we have additional new staff being involved so they can know exactly how things are done. Some progress was made on this year. Each of the states kind of developed an outline of the specific inputs and the AMN process, but the assignment was not completed. We basically recommend that the assignment be continued next year. The second assignment was to complete the accounting for the year 2006 using the preliminary information provided on April 15, 2007, and the final data exchange on July 15, 2007. As per the settlement requirement on April 15th or shortly thereafter, the states did exchange the model data sets and underlying data, and a preliminary run of the RRC groundwater model was completed. It was developed by William Schroeder, who the RRCA is contracted to do that. On or about July 15th, or shortly thereafter, the final data sets were provided to one another. And again, Willem completed a run using that data. That final run of the model has been completed and been provided to all the states in the form of a CD that we have here with us. Those model runs will be posted to the website in the near future. Nebraska reported in 2006 that its computations now related that utilized meter data that was previously not utilized and has provided us with methodologies for the use of that data. The committee collected stream flow, climatological diversion records, reservoir evaporation for the federal projects and agreed on that data. All the inputs into the model and the accounting have been agreed to and are final with a couple exceptions. The accounting for the virgin water supply, consumptive water supply, and beneficial consumptive use was not completed due to a series of disputes. But essentially all the input data into the model into the accounting were agreed upon and are considered final. There's attached to our report is the input page of the spreadsheet, and that data is there and agreed to. The following matters, disputed matters among the committee, prevented us from actually developing an accounting that we could all agree to. The first matter is non-federal reservoir evaporation below Harlan County Lake. Nebraska believes that Section 6A of the settlement stipulation states that that only non-federal reservoir evaporation above Harlan County should be included. Kansas disagrees with that interpretation of the SFS and believes that all non-federal reservoir evaporation should be included as we've done in the past. We referred this to the legal committee and we'll hear a report from them, but in essence, the matter is still unresolved. The second disputed item is the division of evaporation loss from Harlan County Lake, but only one state utilizes reservoir water, as occurred in 2006 and again in 2007. Kansas has asked that this matter be resolved. We've known this was coming for much of 2 years now, and last year made an assignment to resolve this matter, as I'll report on in just a minute. In essence, again, we have not come to resolution on how that split should occur. I'll speak more to this in a minute. The third issue of dispute, on June 20 of 2007, Nebraska provided the engineering committee with a proposed change in the accounting procedures and attached paper titled Calculation of Computed Beneficial Consumptive Use of Imported Water Supply Using the RRCA Groundwater Model. Nebraska believes that the current procedure properly computes the amount of credit but improperly includes in its consumptive use computation some of the imported water. We are not in agreement as to how that matter should be deposed at this time, although there's still work to be done on the matter. Anyway, we were unable to reach consensus on these matters, and it prevented us from developing a consensus accounting that we could put in front of the administration. The third assignment was to continue work to resolve different recharge and return flow methods. This is kind of an ongoing assignment we've had for several years related to a concern we have that the assumed irrigation efficiency of 80% in use in Nebraska overestimates the irrigation recharge. Little progress was made on this matter this year due to other priorities, and the committee recommends we continue this assignment. Assignment four was to, by November 15th, develop a resolution regarding the Harlan County Lake evaporation split, and only one state takes a release. We offered a proposal, the state of Kansas offered a proposal on November 15th for the committee to consider. In essence, the status at this point is the committee has not reached agreement on how that split should occur. The fifth assignment was to add documentation requirements for irrigated acreage retirements to the user's manual. There are significant retirements going on, as we've heard today, using CREP and EQIP and so forth. We've agreed that those ought to be documented in some common form annually in exchange, so that each of the states can know exactly what is used in the accounting, and if it wishes to go out and verify that those are actually in place. Some progress was made on this assignment. We exchanged listings and GIS coverages. That task is not complete yet, and again, we would recommend that we continue this assignment to finish it up. Although I think we're largely satisfied with what we've exchanged to date. The sixth assignment was to retain Principia Mathematica to perform maintenance of the groundwater model. This is Roland. Each of us separately contracted with Roland for his services to support the groundwater model. Under other discussion items in the course of the engineering committee's work, it discovered that Table 5B, which is a specific table that determines Kansas compliance during water short years, as we're in, that it did not include an allowance for Kansas to use 51.1% of any unused portion of Colorado's net allocation, as per the settlement's plain language. The committee recommends that this change be made to the accounting spreadsheet. Recommended assignments for the coming year. The engineering committee is recommending the administration make the following assignments for the coming year. Finalize the work on the user's manual for the RRC accounting procedures, and provide a recommendation to the administration for its adoption next annual meeting. To exchange by April 15th the information listed in Section 5 of the accounting procedure and reporting requirements. All data required by the compact accounting procedures and uses data to complete a preliminary accounting of virgin water supply, computer support water supply, and beneficial consumptive use for the calendar year 2007. By July 15, 2008, exchange any updates to this data and complete the final accounting. Three, to resolve concerns related to varying methods of estimating groundwater, surface water, irrigation, recharge, and return flows, and again, continuing that assignment. Four, is it to again retain Principia Mathematica to perform the ongoing maintenance of the groundwater model. Finally, the engineering committee requests the administration determine steps to resolve the accounting disputes noted above. That's the report. I guess I turn to the fellow engineering committee representative and see if they have anything to add. Okay. I guess that concludes the engineering committee. The administration will have an action item later to determine what to do with the report and what assignments to make. Scott Gunther, you're going to provide the Conservation Committee report?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Again.
I'm Scott Gunther. I'm with the Bureau of Reclamation out of our Great Plains Regional Office in Billings. Although today I'm here on behalf of the Conservation Committee to provide an update on the study of the impacts of these non-federal reservoirs and land terracing on the water supply. This study was identified in the final settlement stipulation, and we developed a study plan. The Conservation Committee was formed, and we developed a study plan that was approved by the Compact Administration in 2004. So this report today marks the completion of the third year of the study. And so what we want to do today is just provide you a brief status report. We provided the Compact Administration with a copy of the status report approximately a week ago, and I'm not going to take the time today to go through this report. You can sort of read it at your leisure. The report really is rather brief. There's about 20 pages that summarize the study, and then includes several appendices. One of those appendices is the inventory of non-federal reservoirs in the basin. There's about 700 of them. Those were identified by the states. It contains an appendix that is a summary of the land terracing in the basin. The committee finished mapping land terracing in the basin during this last year, and we identified approximately 2.3 million acres of terracing, approximately 200,000 acres in Colorado, 890,000 acres in Kansas, and 1.2 million acres in Nebraska. The Nebraska acres are presently under review, and those could be updated. The study status report also contains a couple of appendices. One is a detailed progress report from Kansas State University. If you think of what we're doing with this study, it can really be envisioned as two components. There's a data collection component, and that effort is being led by the University of Nebraska. Daryl Martin's the primary investigator on that aspect of the study. For much of the work, we have 2 to 3 years of data. The states are collecting data for the non-federal reservoirs, and for most of those sites, we have 3 years of data, although up until this spring, as you all know, conditions have been dry and runoff has been poor. So many of these reservoirs have been dry for much of the study period up until this spring, when many of the reservoirs did contain or store some water. What we're really trying to do with the study is we're trying to take a look at precipitation that falls in the study area and be able to separate that precipitation into its ultimate fate, whether it goes to runoff, whether it is consumed by crops or evaporation, or whether it goes into deep percolation and adds to groundwater, or whether it continues on as surface runoff. So those are the items we're trying to identify. We're trying to do that by data collection in the field, and Daryl Martin is leading that effort, and I would suggest after you look through the report, if you're looking for any other information, to contact Daryl directly, and he can help fill you in on those aspects. So we're trying to improve our understanding of what happens to water as it falls in the basin. The ultimate goal, of course, is to identify the impact of these water conservation practices on the water supply. And the way we're going to do that is, once we gain a better understanding through this data collection, we're going to use that information to calibrate some water balance models. And Jim Kelleher, who's also in the audience today, he's with Kansas State, and his specific task is to use a water balance model to estimate those impacts. And there is an appendix for both Kansas State and the University of Nebraska that details their work so far. I'd like to talk just a little bit about expenditures to date. The settlement stipulation identified that the study will cost approximately $1 million. And so we designed a study plan for a study that would cost about $1 million. The states would be responsible for 25% of that, and the federal government for the remaining 75%. To date, we've spent about 80% of the expected funds that we have available for the study. So we've spent around $800,000. You may think that might be a little bit high since we're only 60% of the way through the study, but a lot of these are upfront costs because of data collection efforts. And we expect that we will be able to complete the study in the remaining 2 years, although we do have a lot of work to do, and there may be some of the documentation that might follow that 2 year period. We do expect the study costs to run more than the $1 million. Right now, it's looking like it might be between 1.1 and 1.2. We do think we can complete it on time. I think the major goals for the next year, there's probably four major goals. We're going to continue the data collection, which we must do. That data collection will run at least through calendar year 2008 and possibly into 2009. One of the high priority items for this next year, as I mentioned, we just finished mapping the 2.3 million acres of terraced lands. One of the things that we demonstrated with the water balance model this year is that the functioning condition of these terraces is an extremely important aspect or an extremely important component of what the final estimate is on impact on water supply. So we need to get a good handle on what the condition of these terraces are. So we've designed a study that will help us quantify that. And that's going to be a major goal and a priority through at least the end of 2007. We hope we can accomplish it by the end of 2007. Another high priority item for this next year is we've assembled a fairly large database that will be used in the water balance model, and we'll be developing an interface between this database and the model. And then we reported to you last year that we hope to have the model results for a couple of test basins. Two test basins are Medicine Creek and Prairie Dog Creek. We hope to have that done by this meeting this year. We did not accomplish that primarily because we didn't have a good condition assessment on these terraces. So that would be a high priority item also. Unless you have any questions, that concludes the Conservation Committee report.
Question, Commissioner Barfield, do you believe under the final settlement stipulation that this study requires the states to include this in any more soil and water land use conservation practices in the county, or does it require the states to take any form of action?
Do you have any more questions, Scott?
Depending on what you answer,
yeah. Okay. Well, actually, this study is required by the settlement to improve our understanding of these matters. It only looks at two types of conservation practices, terraces and ponds. The settlement stipulation states, I'll just state it, participation in the joint study does not commit any state or the RRCA to take any action or to include soil and water conservation measures in compact accounting. Each state specifically reserves its position that it need not account for conservation measures as a beneficial fund of use under the compact. I think that answers your question.
Which is, you're saying, no, it does not bind.
No, it does not. That's clear from the settlement.
And Andrew?
Well, thank you. The committee has done an extraordinary amount of work on this, and we applaud you for that. We just received this. It has a plethora of data and information that we haven't had the chance to review. We don't know what the quantified acres under land terracing, whether we agree or not. There are a few reservoir sites. Some are going to be involved in a more deeper study. We don't know how they'll affect. So we consider this got to be very much of a preliminary document, and I don't think it's right at this juncture for public review or comment yet, because it's my understanding it's still a work in progress. Is that correct? Thank you.
I might
I might just add that this is a status report that uses some representative examples of data we've collected and model work that we have done. So it does not represent the full body of work that the committee, the University of Nebraska, or Kansas have completed. It's a representative example of what we have accomplished to date.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, next I'll turn it over to the legal, the ad hoc legal committee. Lee Walsh is chair of that this year.
Thank you, David. Last year at the annual meeting, the RRCA created an ad hoc legal committee to address two issues. The committee consisted of Pam Anderson, Pete Ampey, and Lee Roth. First issue, the result of concerns Article 4C1 of the final settlement stipulation, which provides that stream flow depletion will be charged to the state where beneficial consumptive use occurs. And Nebraska had had a situation come up where an individual in Nebraska was seeking a permit to divert water in Nebraska and use that water in the state of Kansas, because Kansas would get charged with that allocation of water, the beneficial consumptive use, that if Kansas was concerned about that. The second legal issue that was brought up was whether non-federal reservoir evaporation below Harlan County Lake should be included in the accounting as it had been prior to that time. Committee was charged to come up with a solution to these recommendations, these two issues, by November 15, 2006. Kansas was to take the lead on developing these proposals. Kansas was busy and didn't complete that assignment until getting the draft out until November 15, 2006. And November 16th, they furnished Nebraska and Colorado with draft memos and proposals. Colorado did respond on December 1 concerning the use of interstate water. And then finally, in July 17, 2007, a telephonic meeting of the ad hoc legal committee was held. Nebraska confirmed they hadn't yet responded, but planned to in the near future. And in fact, on August 10th, Ron Tice, who became the new member of the Nebraska, from Nebraska on the ad hoc legal committee, did furnish Nebraska's position on those two issues. Well, the committee met last night and discussed these two legal issues. On the interstate transfer water issues, the committee discussed entering into a procedural MOA with each state agency to give notice to the affected states within a certain period of time if that state received an application for use of water in another state. Pete Ampey volunteered to take the next stab at drafting that, and that will be forthcoming from the ad hoc legal committee. On the second issue, on the non-federal evaporation below Harlan County Lake, the ad hoc legal committee was unable to reach an agreement or a solution and recommended that that issue be considered along with other accounting issues as a group, perhaps in negotiation related to the rest of it. Finally, the ad hoc legal committee requested that it be disbanded after it presents its draft MOA to the RRCA. Do you have any comments from the other members of the committee?
My question would be timing on trying to get committee to get a draft MOA to the RRCA. I would suggest November 15th this year.
Ron, do you have any other comments?
No. Okay. Yeah, commissioners, any questions, I guess? We'll deal with the timing, I guess, of this under assignments, okay, to the committees. Okay, very good. So now we're moving to item seven. 7A amended regulations, and that actually, I believe, refers specifically to the potential amended regulations that were being considered regarding approval of a diversion in one state versus another. So this matter we were just speaking about. I guess, what's the pleasure of the administration with regard to this? We might just make the assignment as a, you know, you want to make a resolution making the assignment?
I resolve all my assignments to Peter and the I do have a question though. If are you thinking of getting the ad hoc committee together to discuss your draft?
Just to clarify, the work would be completed by November 15th? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the motion then, to complete that work by then and be disbanded.
Yes.
I'll second. Any discussion?
I guess you're good about disbanding. No further discussion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, 7B is related to the Lower Republican feasibility study. Again, we heard a report on that earlier that Congress, that the House has passed a bill that would authorize that study, and that it's now being considered in the Senate. The subcommittee recently heard that, although I don't believe any action has occurred from that subcommittee. I think the reason I put it on the agenda was just to determine if this body, which in the past has gone on record supporting that study, needed to do anything additional to encourage that federal authorization and appropriation to occur. I know the state of Kansas has funds in place to do its portion of that study. In fact, we keep putting in our budget, keep having to carry it over, which gets more difficult to explain. I know the state of Kansas, you know, has worked with our congressional delegation to keep that going, which is the reason it's where it is today. I know Nebraska is as well. Does anybody have any ideas on anything more we can do?
Dave, I don't think it would be hurtful in any way. If
that would be authorization and funding. Okay. I think it would be prudent to do that, just to reaffirm our support for that study. Anybody want to volunteer to draft that? Okay. Okay. Well, if we're agreed, that's what we'll do on that one. Next, under unfinished business, item 7C is what to do with the dispute about the Harlan County evaporation split. Again, the committee did have discussion. The one proposal was provided to the committee. It has not reached agreement. So I guess the question is what to do with this matter. I would note one other item related to this. As we heard today, the state of Nebraska this year purchased water from the Medicine Creek drainage, or Medicine Creek part of the basin, and provided it to pass through Harlan County to provide water to Kansas Boswick. I believe some of that water is going to be retained this year, at least that's my understanding. It kind of adds a new wrinkle that we did not consider when we developed our proposal, how waters that are not traditionally part of the Harlan County water supply that are either stored or passed through and diverted might fit into this. So I guess I would recommend that we have the committee continue to look at this issue and seek to resolve it. I would recommend that we have them do it on a fairly, 60-day sort of time frame, that we either get this resolved through the committee or move it on to some the dispute process for resolution, because it's something where I think we all need to kind of know where we're at. So my recommendation is we ask the engineering committee in the next 60 days to seek to resolve that issue. Comments?
I wondered if that's not a segue to the next agenda item as far as assignments to the folks. And if that's proper, then I would go ahead at that juncture. This is under agenda item 8A, action on committee reports. I'm referring specifically to the engineering committee. And there are three distinct areas of concern that need to be addressed that Commissioner Marfield itemized earlier, that being in short format, the issue being non-federal reservoir evaporation below Harlan County Lake, the second being the division of evaporation loss from Harlan County Reservoir when one state uses entirely the water in that for irrigation use. The third being the Nebraska computation of imported water supply, affecting the amount calculations and how they go into the accounting. Please forgive me if I did not articulate that exactly correct, but that's the three general topics. My request would be to adopt the engineering report with the instructions to continue their endeavors and to provide within by October 15th, a schedule. I'm not expecting that these three issues be resolved, but by October 15th, at least a schedule to identify those, the actions that be taken, and some form to address them thoughtfully and provide a recommendation by the compact meeting next year.
Let's discuss that, I guess. So let me make sure I understand your proposal. Is that the engineering committee meet by October 15th, adopt a schedule for resolution of those issues, and that the committee be required to resolve prior to next year's report?
Question.
Yes.
As I heard, it was that the committee would together a schedule of action
to
resolve the
rest.
And my
intent was the schedule would be by October 15th.
Right.
That they would be addressed and resolved by the next compact meeting. Certainly not directly within the next.
I guess my concern is there's some in the
they would bring forth the recommendation, but I don't believe, due respect, they have the authority to adopt that, but that only based upon the compact.
I just wanted to clarify.
What I identified as the recommendation.
And then the other assignments that we refer to, such as continuing the documentation, on the modeling of data, and so on, that's the number of all those.
Yes, the others. Yes, it will be seconded.
guess I'm not really, I don't, there are certain pieces of that that I'm willing to support, certainly accepting the engineering committee report and the assignments that are enumerated therein is something I would support. And certainly, I guess those time frames are too long, at least for some of the issues. I don't see the benefit in referring the non-federal reservoir EBAT split to the engineering committee that it's already said and that it can't solve that, that matter. It seems the only resolution. We've had an engineering committee that said they can't resolve it, give it to the legal committee. We've had a legal committee that said they can't resolve it. It just seems like that matter needs to go to the dispute resolution process when one state wants to do that on that issue.
Well, significantly, because this dispute is between Kansas and Nebraska, my thought was that when we have three issues on the table, that perhaps with a measure of time in good faith, at least allowing the opportunity, there may be a form of some form of global settlement. But I'm certainly not trying to preclude any state from taking actions that they deem necessary after the October 15th date.
Well, again, I just, so you're asking, you're suggesting go to the engineering committee, so it may be part of a global negotiation. Again, it's a pretty black and white issue, unfortunately, that so far has not been resolved yet. You know, with respect to the Harlan EBAP split, this is an important issue. Harlan County evaporation split was roughly 16, or Harlan County evaporation was 16,000 in calendar year 2006. Is most likely to be much larger in 2007 as a result of the higher elevation and storage. You know, it just seems like that we need to work to resolve that issue on a more rapid time frame than that. So, yeah.
Well, I guess this is part of the reason I was asking for some clarification on Ken Knox's proposal. What I think would be helpful is for the engineering committee to do as much as they can on these issues from the technical point of view. I think it would be helpful to have some numbers to the extent we can on how much water we're talking about, how much evaporation, for example, on Harlan County Lake for this year, and et cetera. And if they can come to a resolution of this issue, and I would also issue mention Nebraska's concern about the accounting for the consumptive use of the virgin water supply, which we feel is not being done correctly using the current methodology. If the engineering committee can come to resolution on that, that would be fantastic. But what I would suggest is that they try to meet, they try to do that by October 15th. And at that point, depending on where they are, they provide a report to the Republican Compact Administration with whatever recommendations they would have at that point. And then I think it would be appropriate for the Compact Administration to look at the issues and see what we can do if they aren't resolved by the Engineering Committee to move forward with some kind of a resolution. And I say that because I think you are correct, Dave, that the Engineering Committee has tried to deal with the non-federal reservoirs below Harlan County Lake, and I'm not sure they're going to make too much more progress on that issue alone. I would like to see if we can do more of a global solution, and if they can't get there, then I think it's appropriate for the Compact Administration itself to talk about it. So I would suggest that amend your motion, Ken, a little bit to simply say that they should report by October 15th on whether they were able to resolve these issues, to provide whatever numbers they can develop appropriate to these issues, and then recommend to the Republican Republican Compact Administration, what, if any, further steps they would suggest be discussed by the Compact Committee itself.
By October 15th. And at that juncture, I prefer to be silent as far as recommendations, because I think at that juncture it falls within our authority and responsibility to take whatever resolution is necessary at that time.
I would be supportive of that. I guess implicit in that is that the RCA would probably needed some form shortly thereafter to consider that. Again, these are matters that make a difference in terms of compliance and the actions that that need to be taken. So. Okay, very good. Okay, well, I guess Ken's made a motion. Ann, are you still a second to the amended motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, with that I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. And that motion did include accepting the engineering committee report and its assignments, its regular assignments. Okay, so George is just reminding me, let me get my engineering committee report out, hold on. One of the things that was not listed as an assignment is under other discussions, the engineering committee discovered Table 5B was not in compliance with the settlement. It recommended this be changed, be made in the accounting spreadsheet. It wasn't explicit in the assignments. I guess I would just make a motion that we instruct the engineering committee to make that correction.
Okay.
Okay. Ken, seconds any additional discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye. Okay, motion passes. Okay. Loans contract. The engineering committee has recommended. That's in the engineering committee report as a recommendation, so we've adopted that. Okay, under committee assignments, I guess this would be the opportunity we've essentially acted on the engineering committee. I think in total, anything for the ad hoc legal committee. Did we actually finish that? I thought we deferred. Okay. Okay. Okay, with that, we come to item 8C, compact compliance. We requested this item be put in the agenda just to have an opportunity to discuss this particular issue and where it stands and so forth. I'd like to start. Let me start again by saying at the onset here that of this compliance discussion that Kansas does continue to appreciate the efforts made by Colorado and Nebraska toward compact compliance that we've heard about today. today. With that said, Colorado and Nebraska have clearly been unnoticed. The nature of their compact obligations since the end of 2002 when we signed the settlement stipulation. That stipulation provided time to get into compliance, recognizing it would take some time. It delayed the, we've been in water short year conditions since then, but delayed the first test of compliance under the water short year test until the 2005-2006 period, which we are reporting on today, and the first five-year compliance check for until 2007 based on the five-year period of 307. The FSS gave the states considerable latitude in terms of how to come to compliance, but coming into compliance is not optional. The accountings that we've reviewed in the past for 2003, 2004, 2005 have shown that both Nebraska and Colorado to use significantly more than their allocation for each of those individual years. We don't have final numbers that we've agreed upon, but we've agreed upon data that clearly point to continue that both states are out of compliance, that they're using more than their allocation for the year 2006 as well. So there's been limited progress, but again, consumptive use still significantly exceeds the allocations. According to Kansas calculations, for the 4 years, the first 4 years of the accounting, Nebraska consumptive use has exceeded its allocation by almost 144,000 acre feet, and Colorado by more than 44,000 acre feet. I believe even under Nebraska's interpretations, they are over their allocations as well. So the things we've been seeing in the past years and reported on are continuing. As I said, this year is different than past years. It represents the first definitive test of compliance under the settlement's implementation schedule. Again, for that period, the Kansas calculations show that Nebraska used 84,000 acre feet, more than its allocation above guidelines, creating a shortage of roughly the same amount to the state of Kansas. Our view is that a fundamental cause of Nebraska's violations is excessive groundwater use in Nebraska. According to the engineering committee data, our estimates for this year, Nebraska's groundwater pumping caused 198,000 acre feet of depletions to the basin stream flows, or 198,000 acre feet of consumptive use. Surface water consumptive use for 2006 was approximately 35,000 acre feet. So 80% of the depletions, 80% of the consumptive use is groundwater origin. As a result of this overuse, Kansas has now received its water. We have two main entities that receive that water, the Kansas Bostwick Irrigation District and the Main Stem Republican River. The Kansas Bostwick Irrigation District has approximately 40,000 irrigable acres in its district, 13,500 approximately in the upper district above Longwell, and the balance in the lower district below. The base allocation for the Kansas Bostwick Irrigation District is 15 inches. This is the normal allocation that they could use and count on. For each of these years, these accounting years that we've considered, they've received substantially less. The upper part of the district in 2003 received 3.8 inches, 2004, 7 inches, 2005, less than an inch, and in 2006, 2.7 inches. The lower district of 26,000 acres received approximately half of that base allocation over these years. So it's obvious that Kansas Bostwick has not received anywhere near a full supply of water for these 4 years, and that they could have put that additional water to use if it had been available. Kansas Bostwick does not have an alternate supply of groundwater for virtually the whole district. For the part of the basin downstream of Hardy, we've had very low stream flow for most of this period. It was not really until this year that we had any significant stream flow. They've been at historic lows through significant portions of this period. That has meant that a large number of surface water and groundwater users have been heavily this is a real concern that the settlement stipulation addresses a wide range of conditions, both normal and wet, as well as dry. It has specific water shortage conditions. Excess use in the upper part of the basin translates into the lower basin parts not using the right part of their supply. And, you know, I know drought is hard on everybody, but it's especially hard on us when we don't have, when we're not getting our share. As Kansas commissioners have said in the past, this is just unacceptable and cannot continue. Now, Nebraska's reported on the number of activities in 2007. That's not the accounting year in front of us that they've taken. And again, we appreciate those efforts. I sense that many believe that these actions are sufficient to get them in compliance for at least 1 year now. I guess I just want to state that we'll see. Until the year is completed and the accounting is made, we really don't know for sure, but there are certain conditions that make me more skeptical, at least of many in Nebraska, I believe are. Certainly 2007 was a wetter year than the drought sequences, but my observation of the model results is that when we have wetter periods, especially following drier periods, higher depletion is going to be computed for that year because the base flows are depleted when it's available. We have, in a wetter year, we have more base flows available. So groundwater depletion for 07 may be higher and thus complicate compact compliance. Much of the additional flows in 2007 were stored in Harlan County Reservoir and other storage vessels. Stored water does not translate into additional allocation. While Nebraska purchased significant surface water has been reported, there were several limitations on that water that I think are going to limit the amount of benefit to Nebraska for compliance and, in fact, limited Kansas use of it. Kansas received very limited and late notice of the additional supply. We've been hearing rumors throughout much of the spring that farmers need in order to buy seed and fertilizer and such and make these decisions, they need to have some certainty. And our users, it was not until June 21 that we received a definitive determination that water would be available, well after those decisions had been made in the cases. And it really limited our ability to utilize that water, limiting our benefit and really limiting Nebraska's benefit as well. So obviously in the future, if these things are done, more timely notice would benefit both Kansas as a recipient of those waters as well as Nebraska, which is taking the measure to get to compliance. The MOA required KBID to use the purchased water first. So KBID, as a result, is not using its share of its water in this year. This results in that water being rolled over and split with Nebraska Bostwick next year. In effect, at least it's our position, in effect, that this provided a benefit that a lot of the significant portion of the compliance water is in effect benefiting Nebraska Bostwick instead of solely benefiting Kansas Bostwick, again, limiting the benefit of that to compact compliance for the state of Nebraska, as well as limiting our benefit under that water that was purchased to benefit us in view of this overuse. Again, in the future, if Nebraska is purchasing additional water, this should be remedied. In addition, in 2007, wells, instead of surface water, many of the users of that surface water used wells, irrigated their land as well, thereby, again, offsetting that benefit by increasing groundwater depletions. So again, Kansas would like a more collaborative approach to these actions so that we're part of the discussion and can make sure these things are done for the benefit of both states. I've kind of addressed before just wanting to make sure as Nebraska develops its plans that it's reasonable about the assumptions it's making. We talked about augmentation plans already. and the need to make sure that we're all agreed on how that would be done. And I already spoke about my concerns about undue optimism, about the removal of free adipites and how that might achieve compact compliance. Again, over 80% of depletions in these years have been due to groundwater pumping, and we believe that that it should be part of the mix in terms of compliance. And we're hearing about retirement of acres, but we're not hearing of the significant reductions that we believe are necessary there. So in short, the status of where we are is Nebraska is continuing to overuse its allocation in Colorado, and Kansas is receiving significant shortages. We appreciate the efforts of the states and recognize those, but compact compliance is not optional and is not reserved for some future date years down the road. With that, I guess I would like to, Attorney General Morrison has some additional comments to make on those compliance matters, and I guess I'd invite him to make those now, and then afterwards we'll see if you all have anything you wish to add. So, General Morrison.
I'll just speak for a minute. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and I main reason I'm here is I am very interested in water issues. I think it's one of the biggest issues that face all three of our states and all western states in this nation. That having been said, having sat through this meeting this morning, I now feel like I have a greater understanding of what water torture is. I guess a couple of things here. You know, we've been fussing over water now for about 60 years. These compacts have been in place. This compact's been in place since the 40s. And it really comes down to the fact that there are too many users and not enough water. And if you're a downstream state like Kansas, every gallon that's overused by our sister states is a gallon we don't get. And we're talking about a lot of water that has been agreed and stipulated to be allocated to our state that we're not getting. And I can't overstate what Dave said, and that what we're talking about here is a Supreme Court order. The United States Supreme Court has ordered what these allocations are. So it's not optional. You know, you can't go to them and say, well, you know, we've been trying and we did this and that, but I know we're into year five of this, but we're still not in compliance. And I appreciate the efforts of Colorado and Nebraska, but particularly for Nebraska, I have to say that I'm a little bit disappointed that fine surface water and clearing vegetation out of stream beds it is not going to be a long-term solution to this. And I do think, and I'm not an expert, but I've been to several meetings and know a little bit about it, until there are meaningful ways to address groundwater pumping, I'm very skeptical about whether Nebraska is ever going to be able to come to compliance. Here we sit today, I think the fifth year of this United States Supreme Court order, Nebraska's admittedly still out of compliance, and apparently doesn't have a plan yet on how they're going to come into compliance. I don't mean to be dour, and I know there's nobody here that's evil. Everybody's just trying to do the best they can under the circumstances. But I will tell you now that we will take measures to bring both states into compliance because we have to. So we'll leave this meeting and go back and figure out what we're going to do. But you will see some action by the state of Kansas that will be fairly quick and fairly decisive to begin the process of enforcing the Supreme Court order. So that's all I'm going to say, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes my remarks. I guess if there's any additional that the other states want to make on this point, I'd invite that.
Thank you, General Morrison. We understand. And we hear you. And as we progress and we all take these meaningful actions, one plea that we do have is that we continue to at least keep the lines of communication open and work through this, because I recognize the sovereignty of the states, but candidly, it's the water users and the Republican 24,900 square mile basin that really should be the focus of all of our attentions collectively. But I do hear you. Thank you.
I will also thank you for that message. It certainly communicated well, and communication, I think, is critically important as we move forward. I understand where you're coming from in terms of surface water purchases, vegetation removal, some of the other issues may not be the end or the only actions that should be taken. I agree with you there. One of the problems that we have when we're dealing with the groundwater system, as I alluded to earlier in the meeting, is you do not turn around what the impacts of the groundwater pumping in those larger than areas we're dealing with in Nebraska and Colorado overnight. And our modeling has certainly showed that we can take significant actions to reduce groundwater pumping and see very little impact on the stream in the near future, which is one of the reasons that we have looked at surface water purchases, because it's something that can remedy the situation and attempt to get water to Kansas as quickly as possible. That is not to say, however, that we are not looking at other actions that need to be taken to deal with the more long-term solution. We are doing that, and we would like to continue to communicate with Kansas as well as Colorado to try to come to a resolution of these issues. We are committed to doing what needs to be done.
Okay, thank you. I guess that we're ready for agenda item 9, which is remarks from the... No? No, wait a minute, I'm sorry, we have the two resolutions. Thank you. Ken, I'll let you start.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to read into the record a resolution of the Republican River Compact Administration honoring Mr. Aldi Simpson, personally a friend and mentor of my former state engineer of Colorado, that reads, whereas Aldi Simpson of Denver, Colorado, has faithfully served as the Colorado State Engineer, Director of the Colorado Division of Water Resources, and Colorado Commissioner of the Republican River Compact Administration for 15 years. And whereas in his capacity as the Colorado State Engineer and as the Colorado Commissioner of the Republican River Compact Administration, in addition to serving as the Colorado Representative to the Republican River Engineering Committee for 12 years, Mr. Simpson represented the compact interests of the state of Colorado and residents of the Republican River Basin in Colorado with conscientiousness and diligence, displaying admirable expertise of water matters, and whereas during his tenure as Colorado's representative, Mr. Simpson exhibited professionalism and integrity and provided leadership and guidance toward addressing the complexities of water administration and compact compliance issues, promoting mediation over litigation. Now, therefore, be it hereby resolved that the Republican River Compact Administration does hereby express its sincerest gratitude and appreciation to Aldi Simpson for his dedicated service to the Compact Administration in his position of Colorado Commissioner, and extends its best wishes to Mr. Simpson in all his future endeavors. Be it further resolved that the RRCA honor Mr. Simpson's service by including this resolution inappropriate dedicatory remarks in the annual report for Compact Year 2006, and hereby instructs the Colorado Commissioner to send copies of this resolution to the Simpson family and the governor of the state of Colorado, entered this 15th day of August 2007 at the annual meeting of the RRCA held in Junction City, Kansas.
Hey, well, let me read mine as well. Very similar language, and we'll move them both together. This is a resolution of the Republican River Compact Administration honoring Mr. David L. Pope, and certainly similar sentiments to Ken after all, we all after David as well. Whereas David L. Pope of Topeka, Kansas has resigned his position as Kansas Chief Engineer and thus Kansas Commissioner of the Republican River Compact Administration after having served faithfully in that position for over 24 years. Whereas the Kansas Commissioner of the RRCA and Chief Engineer of the Kansas Department of Agriculture's Division of Water Resources, David has diligently represented the compact interests of the state of Kansas and residents of the Republican River Valley in Kansas. Whereas while diligently representing the state of Kansas and its constituents, David has continually reached out to the states of Colorado and Nebraska to compile the most accurate accounting possible of the waters of the Republican River, to identify issues and disputes, and to reach fair and reasonable solutions to as many issues associated with the Republican River Compact. Whereas David's expertise, positive attitude, friendly personality, and congenial temperament have been an asset to the RRCA and the state of Kansas. Now, therefore, it is hereby resolved that the Republican River Compact Administration does hereby express its sincerest gratitude and appreciation to David L. Pope for his dedicated service to the RRCA in his position as Kansas Commissioner. Be it further resolved that the RRCA honors Mr. Pope's service by including this resolution and the appropriate dictatorial remarks in the RRCA annual report for Compact Year 2006. Hereby instructs the Kansas Commissioner to send copies of this resolution to the Pope family and the governor of the state of Kansas. Again, entered this 15th day of August 2007 at the annual meeting of the RRCA held in Junction City, Kansas. So I would move we pass both resolutions.
Second.
All right. Obviously, all in favor, so it is approved.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, David, and send our, you know, our deep appreciation to Helen as well. Okay, remarks of the public. There's an opportunity here. If you have something you'd like to say, we can take some brief remarks before we make future meeting arrangements and adjourn. So.
I think you can all hear me from here. I want to make this comment.
Norm, why don't you?
Norman Nelson, excuse me. I'm in the irrigation district. I think we're probably missing a real point here today. We changed our farming practices here very intensely in the last 5 years. In fact, we started maybe 10 years ago talking about no-till farming. I can guarantee you it does lessen our runoff. I mean, there's Kansas State University's got a test that's hoping and they can prove to you what it does. I think this is probably a lot of our problems that we're talking about today. I don't have an answer, but I think it is a real problem. I think it's great. I think no-till farming is the way of the future. It's a lot better to keep it on the soil than run it down the river, but it is effective.
Thank you, Warren. Anyone else like to make some comments?
I have a...
Can you identify yourself, please?
I don't know if I just
Yes, I do.
I have a mother in here. She's probably small as well. I can only comment on the area that I am from, including Bonnie Dam. Since the Bonnie Dam was put in, you can directly the body damage collected the silt and everything from any floods after it was put in. Okay, body damage was put in for the question is, Kansas and Nebraska feel any responsibility that they have been protected? Because of these dams, Colorado is actually getting charged for their evaporation to keep everything out. If the flow cannot go on through, is it totally Colorado's fault since Kansas and Nebraska have been benefiting from these dams? I have another question to Kansas, since I live in that area, on the Republican River. It's everybody's fault. It's not just Colorado, Nebraska, it's all three states. On the Republican River, into Kansas line, there's gravel pits right along the river. What effect does that have on stream flow going on up? The reason I know this, I do have a landlord who resides in Kansas. And I'm not a geological thing or any of that. We live in the area, and I don't know who to approach about the game of fish or whatever, but it is a total quagmire down there. If it can flow 4 miles west and not even reach 385, then you have a problem. Is it Colorado's problem? Is it Kansas and Nebraska and Colorado's problem? Because then the dams are put into beneficial use for everybody. I think that's all I have.
Well, this is not really a question and answer session, but I'll just note that the settlement provides for how the who will pay for what. Gravel pits, some of them have water rights, and if so, that use is reported and included in the county procedure. So, where those uses are required, they are being addressed. So. Okay, don't see any other comments, we don't have any more to add. I guess the next agenda item is meeting arrangements. The chair, I think, if I understand right, as soon as the meeting is over, the chair would move to Nebraska, is that my understanding? So, Anne, I guess, do you have any sense of the meeting arrangements? I think we have two issues to discuss. One is the arrangements for next year's annual meeting?
Well, I think there's two issues for next year's annual meeting and then the meeting that right. I think in October.
Correct.
And I think the best thing to do would be to set a date for next year's meeting, roughly in the August time frame, I'm assuming. We are looking forward to closing the compact administration.
Okay. Okay.
We want to try to find a timeline totally.
Yes, hold on just a second.
I would suggest maybe like the last week in October. Have you told me that you have all turned to that to whatever we get?
I'll be thinking meeting in person at all.
Let's set the date we can meet. We can get it done by a conference call at home. But maybe we'll have a day on our calendar on that. We can go with all things day. I'll wait on the first.
I know, let's see, so we're talking, November, I know the first, November 1st is a 1:40 meeting.
November 1st.
If that will not work for me, November.
We can do a 29, 30, 31st of October.
Yeah, any of those dates work for me. 30th would be the Tuesday, okay?
We would offer for travel, folks would like for Denver, we'd be glad to host you.
Well, as chair, I'll leave that to Ann. I know.
The offer is there.
Yeah, thank you. We will try to make it, we can talk about it later, second, where we can meet.
Okay, very good. We have a date picked out for the annual meeting and a special meeting, I guess, at the compact. Okay, are there any other matters for the administration to consider today?
I would just like to thank the candidates for hosting us.
All right, well, we apologize for the temperatures, but difficult to call. Okay, hold on. Yeah, David was just mentioning the junction of the Smoky Hill River and Republican River, so it's not too far by that that confluence is why Junction City is called Junction City and it forms the Kansas River. So anyway, you can turn that if you like. Anyway, I guess seeing no other business for this administration, we'll consider it adjourned. Thank you all for coming.
Well, I guess we figure out where it is.
Thank you.